The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" And when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So the women went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. I'm a big fan of board games. Settlers of Catan, Scattergories, Codenames, right? Ticket to Ride, Throw Burrito, Cat, Pizza, Goat. I don't know. It was a game. What is it? Taco Cat, Goat, Pizza. Taco Cat, Goat, Cheese Pizza, right? There's a lot happening there. You name it. I enjoy playing these games, whether it's strategy or chance. Maybe it's a little sillier, like taco, goat, cheese. Cameron, this is the most you paid attention to my sermon yet, right? I'm on to you. All right, I love to try it. And one of my favorite board games growing up was the board game Clue. Now, Clue is a game where you have to figure out, through moving your player around the board, details about a crime that was committed, specifically a murder, and even more specifically, who did it, with what, and where did they do it. Now, various colorful characters, weapons, and locations in a large mansion can all be possibilities. Was it Colonel Mustard with a candlestick in the ballroom? Or was it Ms. Peacock with a revolver in the kitchen? Or was it Professor Plum with a lead pipe in the conservatory? I'm concerned that you just cheered lead pipe during Easter service. We'll work on this, right? Now, while this game has probably led to my morbid obsession with listening to podcasts about crimes committed, it has also fed a very human desire to know the exact parameters of how something took place. I think it's very normal for us to want to know all the details of a story, right? How it happened, who caused it, where it happened. If you hear that someone got engaged, you want to know the story, right? You're saying like, okay, what was said, and what were you wearing, and where were you at? Was it super romantic? Were your nails nicely done, right? All for the pictures. But on the flip side, if you hear that somebody was in a car accident, what happened? Where was it? Was it your fault? We want details to show and to know and to understand things so that we can understand the fullness of what the experience was, even if we weren't there to witness it ourselves. We want to hear the story with as many details as a person can provide so that we can somehow imagine it and live it out. Now, playing the game Clue as a kid, I remember feeling really confused with some of the weapons. How do you hurt someone with a lead pipe, right? And what is a conservatory anyway? I don't know. But I could picture things happening once I knew who it was and where these things were happening and how it happened because of the details given in the game. Now, we celebrate Easter every year, right? doesn't change. Maybe the date on the calendar changes, but every year we're going to celebrate Easter. Whether it's a late Easter or an early Easter, whether it's a leap year or there's a pandemic going on, we're going to celebrate Easter. And every year we hear the same story of who, what, and where. So if we had a magical envelope with the Easter story, the card for who would read what? Jesus! All right, right? When in doubt, if a pastor asks you a question, just say Jesus, right? There's a good chance you'll be right. Now, if that's the who of Easter, what is the what? Jesus, specifically the resurrection, right? That's the what. When we think about Easter, we're talking about the resurrection. And where is the where? The tomb? But this is a trick question. All right? Now, this is a trick question because are we talking about the literal event of Easter morning at the empty tomb in Jerusalem? If so, that's where it was, right? We know Jerusalem, right? We have an idea of where Golgotha was. We have an idea of where the tombs were. We understand it from a geographical sense. But when we think about Easter of 2024, where is the where? Oh, y'all are so good. In our lives, right? So the where is everywhere. Oh. Now, it's easy to think that Jesus' death and resurrection, this is a fancy big church word for saying that zombie Jesus is out walking and talking after everyone saw him take his last breath on the cross. And all of this took place in Jerusalem one time, right? And it did. But part of celebrating Easter, part of hearing the story of Easter that we hear this morning in the Bible readings and the prayers and the songs, is that we hear the story of Jesus' resurrection for us today. Jesus with a resurrection in Soldotna, or in Kenai, or in Alaska, in your home, in your office, or on the baseball field, or at Safeway, maybe overlooking the bluff, or in your boat on the river. When we gather in a church, we gather in community to worship, to hear the stories, right? We are hearing the details of an event that maybe we weren't physically at, but we are emotionally impacted by. Some of you have been married for 50 or 60 years. How long have you two been married?
61.
61 years, right? And I love to ask folks, how did you first meet? Because I see, and we don't have enough time for Doug to answer that question, right? But I love you, Doug, but people want to get home for their second breakfast, right? But when I say, how did you meet? Your faces light up, and I can see you remembering what each other looked like 61 years ago on your wedding day, right? I can see it in your faces as you describe what your spouse was wearing or what it felt like. I can see you all kind of experiencing that when you tell me these stories. And while I wasn't there, I wasn't even alive 61 years ago, despite what some of the children may think, I get such joy out of hearing your stories because of the way that you describe it. So too is the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. Rather than us focusing on the logistics or the specifics of the who, what, and where, and instead we get to focus on the what now of the resurrection. We know that it was Jesus in the tomb on Easter Sunday, but what do we do with that? How do we live our lives as people who hear the same story over and over again, but in the present moment? Because I hate to break it to you, but you heard the same story last year. And if you come next year, you'll hear the same story again. Surprise. But what do we do with it is what the message is for us today. What does it mean in our present lives that the women showed up and found that this giant stone, this obstruction, had been moved, and their friend, the one that they loved so much, was no longer laying there wrapped in a burial cloth, but this strange figure was sitting before them? And he says, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look. There is the place that they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you. Do not be alarmed. Jesus has been raised. He is going ahead of you, and there you will see him just as he promised you in the stories we've heard. Now, we hear this story over and over again to be reminded that we have heard it before, and we will hear it again. And we're reminded that the resurrection wasn't just to be documented with facts and figures, but to be felt with emotions. To feel the uncertainty and the alarm on Good Friday when Jesus takes his last breath and we don't know what is to come. But then to feel it again, to be reminded that the empty tomb is a promise, just like the empty womb on Christmas Eve. That Jesus Christ is upsetting and unsettling all of the things we want to know with certainty, and instead is leading us out of our certainty and into our curiosity, into our searching, into our wandering, and into our longing. He is going ahead of you, this figure says. There we will see him, just as he told us. And this is the Easter invitation, to follow Jesus away from the tomb, away from death, away from defeat, away from certainty, and to seek him, since he has gone ahead of us. To follow his invitation of life outside of the tomb, outside of Jerusalem, and to seek his promise of love in every room in our homes, in the kitchen, in the bathroom, and even the conservatory. But to seek him in every corner of our lives, no matter where we have gone or what we have done. Who?
Jesus.
What?
Resurrection.
And where?
Everywhere.
Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Indeed. Thanks be to God. Amen.